This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salat wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters of America, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to start by saying to you, my dear American brothers and sisters, that I'm so honored to be able to speak to you today. This is the first time I've come to America, and so you are the first American audience that I've ever had the pleasure to speak to. And so really, I want to first of all acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge you, my American brothers and sisters, for being the standard bearers of family values and morality in America at a time when Shaitan has been seeking to sink his claws into our children. I want to acknowledge you for standing up against oppression and injustice with what's going on in Palestine at the moment. Especially, I want to thank the American Muslim students for the role you've played in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil within your institutions. Yes. I want to acknowledge you, my American brothers and sisters, for staying the course during the last 10 to 20 years, where you, as Muslims, were being targeted and demonized and attacked in the media. You stood true to your values when, for some of you, I know, holding on to your deen, holding on to your faith, was like holding on to hot coals. I know you wanted to give up, but you persevered. I want you to know that the world is watching you as American Muslims. And when you rise, when you stand your ground, when you hold on to your principles, even when it's hard to do so, you win our respect and you inspire us and people all over the world. Jazakum Allah khairan. And with that, I will move on to the topic for today, and that is the topic of privilege. Now, my talk is actually about our mother, Khadija radiallahu anha, and the privilege that she had. But of course, we are inspired with the topic of privilege through the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, because Sulaiman alayhi salam was very conscious of the fact that he was very privileged. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood, they knew, they had this special knowledge from Allah. وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they both said, Alhamdulillah, who has blessed us, who has given us privilege over many of his believing servants. They also acknowledge in Surah An-Naml that we have been taught the language of birds, and on us has been bestowed all things. Allah has given us everything we could ever want. This verily is an evident grace from Allah. This is a privilege from Allah, they said. So I want to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, what privileges do you have? And I actually want you to actually, you know, note down when you have some time this question. What privileges do I have? What are my unfair advantages? And there's a brilliant book on this topic, Unfair Advantage, by a brother called Hassan Kubba. I encourage you to look it up. Every single one of us has advantages. Every single one of us has privileges, whether we recognize them or not. Your passport could be a privilege that you have. Even just coming here to America, you know, I got my wonderful ESTA visa. You know, being a Brit, you just get fast-tracked through. Another brother, Egyptian brother, unfortunately, he was held for hours. subhanAllah, the privilege of a passport. Maybe your privilege is your family, your lineage, or the reputation of your, you know, your family in your community. Perhaps your privilege is your accent. By the way, I've heard that Americans think British people are clever because of our accent. I don't know if that's true. I intend to take full advantage of your perception of me with my accent today. Your social status might be a privilege that you have, right? Your being a Muslim could be your privilege. Who understands what I mean by Muslim privilege? You know, we talk about white privilege, right? People talk about white privilege. I'm not saying there's no such thing as white privilege. Of course, Britain and America, with the history of colonialism and slavery and all of the things that come with it, of course there are systemic ways in which, you know, white privilege might present itself. But have you ever thought to yourself that actually I have Muslim privilege? And what do I mean by Muslim privilege? I mean, this is my definition of Muslim privilege, the confidence and the resilience that comes with having Allah's guidance in your life. Truly, that is a privilege that many, that most of mankind do not have. Brothers and sisters, say Alhamdulillah. So I want you to think about what privileges you might have. You know, what sorts of things that we have are privileges. Maybe the city that you were born in. Now, I'm going to turn to a woman of privilege, and I'm going to give you 5 lessons from her life that we can internalize, and inshallah, we can act upon. The woman that I'm talking about is Khadija radhiyallahu anha. And as brother mentioned, I wrote a book about Khadija. So I had the privilege of researching her life. And 5 big lessons really spoke to me when it came to our mother Khadija. The first, live for a vision beyond your own life. Live for a vision beyond your own life. Khadija radhiyallahu anha, what was her privilege? She was from an upper class family in Mecca, one of the most connected cities in that region. Okay, she had the biggest caravan in Mecca, one of the biggest. So we're not just talking about a little corner shop, you know, she has literally like a corporation that she's running. She had wealth that she had inherited from her husband. And she had status. She was like a celebrity in the city of Mecca. And yet, what do we see? We see that everything she went through in her life, she did so without seeing the fruit of that effort manifested in its full form. What do I mean by that? Khadija died, passed away in Mecca. She lived and she toiled, and all of the work that she did was during the Meccan period. This was a time of difficulty, a time of oppression, a time when the Muslims were really persecuted. So in a way, you could say she died, passed away, at a low point for the Muslims, just before the Hijrah. She never got to see Islam flourishing in Medina. She never got to see the establishment of the first masjid. She never got to see the conquest of Mecca. And yet, she did the work anyway. And yet, today, all of us sitting here today, we are thousands of miles away from Mecca, and yet we are the fruit of Khadija's efforts. Are we not? Khadija radhiyallahu anha, the one who bankrolled the da'wah of Islam, we are the fruit of her efforts. Imagine how happy she'd feel to see that Islam had spread to the four corners of the world. She never got to see that. The message for us is, we might not get to see the fruit of our efforts in our lifetimes, but we must do the work anyway. We must do the work anyway. The second lesson from Khadija's life, in the way that she used her privilege, is to seek your status with Allah. Seek your status with Allah. when the Prophet ﷺ came down from the mountain and he was confused about what had happened, she took him to Waraqa bin Nawfal. And what did Waraqa say? Waraqa bin Nawfal, her cousin, he said to the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija, the two celebrities, the celebrity couple of Makkah, he said to them, "I wish I was a young man. I wish I was a young man so that I could help you when your people throw you out." And the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija, they must have looked at each other in that moment. Because Khadija and the Prophet were loved. They were beloved people of that city. And yet they looked at each other and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Are they really going to throw me out?" And Waraqa says, "Yes, anyone who has come with a message like yours has always been persecuted." Now in that moment, Khadija had a choice. She didn't have to stay the course. She didn't have to stand by the Prophet ﷺ's side, if you think about it. Nobody was forcing her. Yet she chose not the status that she would have in this life of being the most celebrated woman of Makkah. She chose her status with Allah. And yes, she was persecuted for it. Yes, she lost some of her status with the people of Makkah for a short time. But eventually, look at us here today. We're mentioning our mother Khadija. She is on the lips of all Muslims, you know, when we think of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. So ultimately, she gained her status in this life and with Allah. The message for us: do not fear losing your status in this life. You know, sometimes people, they don't want to wear hijab, or they find it difficult manifesting the fact that they're Muslims. They might be embarrassed to pray in public. They might be embarrassed to tell their boss, you know, there's certain things I can do, there's certain things I don't want to do. Why? Because it's because they fear a loss of status. So the message for us is, don't fear losing your status. If you put Allah first and your status with Allah first, not only will He give you status in the next life, He will also give you the status in this life in a way that you could never have imagined. The third lesson: patiently persevere in the face of ignorance. You know, at Khadija radiallahu anha, she had a house where there was a courtyard. I did research into this. There was part of her house that was without a roof. And Abu Lahab and his wife used to send the street urchins and the slaves of the city to go and throw rubbish, or I should say garbage, okay, over the walls of Khadija's house. And we're talking about rotting, disgusting things, the carcasses of animals and things like this. So just imagine Khadija radiallahu anha, she's sitting in her home with her children, and suddenly all this rubbish, garbage is thrown over the walls of her house. She had to go through that patiently. When Khadija radiallahu anha's baby passed away, imagine you're going through that difficulty of a child. It wasn't a very small baby. Some scholars say he was a few years old. A baby that you love, a child that you love, passes away. And then the entire city is mocking you. They're making up poems about you. They're calling your husband Abtar. Muhammad is Abtar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then of course Allah reveals in the Quran, "Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar." They are the ones who are cut off. You're not the one who's cut off. Your lineage is not cut off. Imagine going through that. That is true Islamophobia, isn't it? The hatred that you're getting from your society. If the best of people had to go through that, then we too, brothers and sisters, must be prepared for tough times. As Umar bin al-Khattab said, "Ikhshawshinu," toughen up, because good times don't last forever. Be prepared for the tough times, as our mother Khadija radiallahu anha was. The fourth lesson: be a tool for Allah's sake. Be a tool for Allah's sake. Khadija radiallahu anha, what were the talents that she had? What was the resources that she had? She had money. She had wealth. She had a company that could support her husband. She had status, so she could invite people to her home, to invite them to Islam. She used the resource and talent that she had for the sake of Allah. Every dinner that you hear that the Prophet ﷺ organized for the Meccans, you should think about Khadija being one of the people who was behind that, the key person who was behind that. Every bit of support that she gave him in the unique way that she could. The lesson for us, brothers and sisters, is how can we use our talents and resources for the sake of Allah in the way that Khadija did? Every single one of us has resources and talents that we can use. Not necessarily monetary. Maybe it's the way you write. Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's a particular skill that you have, or a particular role that you see that people keep calling on you for. That's your talent, that's your skill. Use it for the sake of Allah. And the final lesson from the life of Khadija: be the backbone of your family. And I say this to the sisters in particular. Who was the one who used to climb up a mountain to give food to her husband? Who's gone there for days on end? Who was the one who the Prophet ﷺ found comfort in? When we talk about Khadija as a businesswoman, we're not talking about a woman who used to put her high heels on and go out to work every day, okay? That's the kind of impression that people give, right? She was a mompreneur, if you like, okay? She was a mother with many children, and she had people managing her business for her. But the key role that she had, the thing that, you know, sometimes we don't acknowledge, or people don't like to acknowledge or cheer about, is that she was a loving wife and a supportive homemaker. Somebody who the Prophet ﷺ needed. He said, ruziqtu hubbaha. I was nurtured and enriched with her love. And he said about her, she had faith in me when people rejected me. She believed in me when people disbelieved me. She supported me with her wealth when the people prevented me. And Allah blessed me with children through her and not through any other wife. So the message from that for us, especially as sisters, is that we have a great power in being the most influential person in the lives of our children, in the lives of our families. We get to set the culture of our households. Any work that our husbands do, that the menfolk in our families do, if we support them, we do not get any less reward. We get that reward too. So to recap, number one, live for a vision beyond your own life. Number two, seek your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, patiently persevere in the face of ignorance. Number four, be a tool for Allah's sake. And number five, be the backbone of your family. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to recognize the privileges and blessings that we have and to use them in the short time that we have on this earth, brothers and sisters. Time is short. In 100 years, there'll be a whole new generation here. And the greatest blessing we have is the blessing of Islam. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Islam wa kafa biha ni'ma. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.